Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It is a blessing to be here and meet with the people of God once again. I want to welcome warmly each one, regulars and visitors. I see a number of visitors here this morning. That's a blessing. We also have a number of out-of-state students that have hung around for the weekend. That's a blessing. We are happy to have you here and worship with us this morning. We had a busy week, and I had bugged Leonard a little bit during the week that, maybe there would be some visiting preachers in the area this weekend that maybe my spot could get filled. But I wasn't depending on that, and I had planned for a big day of study yesterday to finish preparing something. But then, towards the end of the day, God took everything and just kind of turned it upside down in a number of ways, and I'll share some of that a little later. And so I found myself last night doing something that I don't enjoy. And that was opening up the filing cabinet and going through previous things I had shared, looking for something that was old enough or something that would be applicable enough to share this morning. And I found something that I think it has been four, maybe almost 5 years ago that I had shared here. So this might sound somewhat familiar to you. But what really grabbed my attention about this was because it applied so much to the situation that I found myself right then and still find myself. And so this message that I shared back then, I feel is more applicable to me today than it ever has been. And I trust that it will be to you as well. This morning I invite you to turn to Psalm 23. We know this passage, most of us, by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those familiar verses that many people, even in just common society, would know by heart. This psalm, Psalm 23, has many passages, but especially this psalm, is a metaphor. And I think we know what a metaphor is. A metaphor is when we state that one object is another, to emphasize their similarity or for sake of comparison. So, for example, if I say, that man is a fox, I don't actually mean that he is a fox with the bushy tail and all. You know that. You know that I am simply, that is a metaphor. If I say, that man is like a fox, it is no longer a metaphor. It is now a simile. So now consider a writer. Consider a writer that is writing a story, and he uses word pictures, tries to make it as interesting as possible, and one of the ways is using metaphors. That's one of the tools that a writer can use to captivate the interest of the reader. And the metaphors that he uses in his work of literature is somewhat, many times, dependent on the culture he's a part of. Okay? So, the metaphors that we use in our culture are many times different or would not be understood in another culture. So, the example I'm using, and I wish I had a better example. This one's a little bit too generic to really illustrate this, but I think we can a little bit. I said that man is a fox. Now, in our culture, and probably many cultures, and that's what I mean by it being a little too generic, but especially in our culture, when we say that man is a fox, or you hear me say that man is a fox, right away we think this man's sneaky, sly, possibly mean, has ulterior motives for almost everything he does, and you can't trust him ever. Now, why do we think that? Because we have been raised in a culture where, in a location on the earth, where the red fox is quite common. And even if you have never even, in spite of the place you've lived, if you've hardly ever even seen a red fox, you've heard a lot about them. And growing up, you probably read stories. North American literature that spoke of foxes as being sly, mean, and not to be trusted. And so therefore, the culture has shaped a little bit, our location, plus the culture has shaped a bit of our understanding about a fox. There's places in the world today that it may not exactly, if we use that metaphor, that man is a fox, may not exactly mean the same thing. Now, fox, I understand that one's pretty broad. It'd probably be hard to find those cultures where it means something different. But they're probably there. So to understand Psalm 23 as a metaphor, we need to understand some things about the culture that the writer is in, the culture that he comes from. King David. Now, the concept of God as a shepherd is not only used by David. The prophet Isaiah says, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, he says, "He," meaning Jesus, "shall feed his flock like a shepherd." Now, that's a simile. But God, or Jesus, will feed his flock like a shepherd. Jeremiah and Ezekiel also used prophetic image of Jesus as a shepherd. And Jesus himself, in John chapter 10, verse 11, said, "I am the good shepherd." David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Jesus himself were all speaking from the Hebrew culture. All of them. And so what did they think of when they thought of a shepherd? Now, in that culture, unlike ours, a shepherd taking care of a flock of sheep, that's just how sheep were taken care of. One that takes full-time responsibility for a herd of sheep. That was commonplace. That's just how sheep farming, sheep herding was done with shepherds. And in fact, David himself, the writer of Psalm 23, was a shepherd in his youth. Now, we don't know an awful lot about the shepherds in those days in the Middle East, but we do know we can go to the Middle East today and find that legacy of shepherding sheep, you will find nomadic Bedouin people today in the Middle East, in parts of Israel, that do the things that shepherds did back then, even to this day. They've kept a culture, they've kept a tradition that dates way, way back. I suppose there's some things that have changed, but very little. Nomadic people that have not been affected much at all by modern culture, at least in their lifestyle. The Bedouin people. And so by looking a little bit at what they see and what it means to be a shepherd there with those nomads, we can understand maybe a little bit more of what David had in mind when he was talking about the Lord is my shepherd. There's a lot of things we could talk about. The sheep are led by the shepherd and know his voice. And we could spend our time here talking about the relationship of the Bedouin shepherd and his sheep. However, I think we're already somewhat familiar with that because the shepherd is something that is almost completely non-existent in our culture. And so whenever we've read Psalm 23 and whenever we've talked about it, taught on it, we have been forced to look at Middle Eastern culture and try to understand what the shepherd is. And so I think we understand some of that. But maybe there's some things in Psalm 23 that we have not had to do that with, and we are misunderstanding, or we maybe, I shouldn't say misunderstand. I think we understand, but we can have a better understanding if we understand it in that culture. So what I really want us to look at is in verse 2. David says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That phrase, green pastures, is my title. Like I said, the shepherd is foreign to us. But when we think of green pastures, that's not foreign to us. Why, Lebanon, Lancaster County, Berks County, is full of green pastures. Everywhere we look, we have hills covered with green. And yes, it's coming to the time of the year where it's soon not so green. But we know what green pastures are. Lush meadows, especially in the spring. Just blanket of green. We also have, not as much as we used to, not as much as when I was in my teen years, but lots of fields of alfalfa. We still do. Imagine, or we don't have to imagine. We know what it is. You know, it's thick, it's green. You can't hardly make it any greener. And so when we read green pastures, we know what that is. And have we been forced to interpret it, or have we interpreted it in the culture that it was written? You know, we can, from our understanding, from what we have been raised seeing, we can easily replace the shepherd with a shed and a white rail fence around a few acres of land. It's not hard. Green pastures. We can imagine a lush green hillside dotted with sheep that are contently grazing there with this white fence around them and a creek flowing by down below, still waters. All these sheep have to do to get what they need for a lifetime is simply reach out and get it. You know, you've seen those sheep. There's so much good grass around them. They're just they're just walking along, and it's kind of like they're just choosing the best chunks, right? Now, I have a question for you. Is that what your Christian walk is like? God, when you got saved, took you and plunked you down in a pasture and a few acres of land, and all you have to do is mosey around, maybe lay down most of the time, and just reach out and get those juicy tufts of grass that there's just too much of it. Is that what it feels like on a daily basis? I realize we have those times. And I think most of us would agree that it's harder work than that. So what's David talking about? The Lord, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, much of Israel is covered with rugged wilderness. And I hate to erase this because this actually goes well with what I'm sharing. But if we could picture, and I'm just doing this out of my head, so it's not going to be correct, I'm sure, exactly, but if this would be the coastline of Israel, something like that, we have somewhere in this area, we have the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River. Somewhere down here, we have the Dead Sea. And in here, we have a ridge of mountains. Maybe not quite up that far, but somewhere in here, we have a ridge of mountains called the Judea Mountains. And then in this area, all down through here, we have on the west side of this mountain ridge, we have an area known as the Judea Wilderness. Today, this area, most of this area, we would know as the West Bank. Down here, we have an even more rugged, more wilderness desert area known as the Negev. Bethlehem, where David grew up as a boy, being a shepherd, was right kind of in the Judea mountainous area, right just close to the wilderness area. David was quite familiar with the wilderness. Now, this wilderness desert, the Negev and the Judea wilderness, is largely just dry, rocky land. That's all it is. Dry, rocky land. Barren hills covered with rocks. Now, there is a lot of fertile, lush land like we would be familiar with, maybe even more so, up here in the Jezreel Valley. But that land is precious. That land is for farmers. That land is not available to the shepherd, except maybe at the end of the harvest when there's a little bit of stubble and leftover things left over, they'll let the flocks come in and graze. But as a general rule, that's not where the sheep are allowed. That's not where cattle are allowed. Shepherds can't take their flocks there year-round. You see, in that culture, they put their sheep and their cattle where it's too dry to farm. In our culture, we put them where? Where it's too wet to farm. Right? So many places in the wilderness, you can find the Bedouin shepherds leading their flocks across the rocky hillsides. And I haven't been there in person, but I've looked at pictures different times of this, of shepherds leading their flocks across what looks like a barren desert hillside with hardly any green at all. And that's where they're getting their food. That's where the sheep. And to us, to me, looking at some of the pictures I've seen, it would appear that those sheep must eat rocks. They must eat rocks because that, it looks like that's all that's there. So what did David have in mind when he said green pastures? Well, the word green here in Psalm 23 is the word Hebrew word deshe, or deshe. And that word means new grass or young and tender vegetation. So the word green here doesn't so much have to do with a blanket of color as it does with fresh, sprouted grass. You see, even though it's hot and dry in the Judea wilderness and in the Negev, every year there's a small amount of rain. There's a little bit of rain on this rocky soil. There is also warm, moist air that comes from the Mediterranean Sea and blows across into the wilderness regions. And the temperature in these areas drips drastically at night. And so what happens when that temperature dips, these rocks that are now colder and that warm air touches them and we have condensation, dew on the rocks. Add that dew consistently with a little bit of rainfall, not much rainfall, just a little bit of rainfall a year, and we create moisture running off this rock from a little bit of rain and a little bit of dew that right around the edge of the rock, we will start to find small blades of grass that would sprout up, just fresh. They won't last real long a lot of times because of the hot sun, but they'll spring up. And there's certain times of the year when it's a little bit more moist than others where those wilderness areas would actually get just a little bit of a green hue to them. Just a light green over the brown desert rocky hillside. I'm suggesting to you this morning that these little blades of grass, these little tufts of grass that sprout up alongside the rocks in the wilderness is what David was thinking about when he said, "The Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures." Now, I know it says lie down, and that would be after the sheep has been filled. But if we were to go to the Middle East today, to the areas of the Bedouin shepherds, we would find those shepherds day after day taking their sheep out and going across hillsides in these areas, steep hillsides, and moving their sheep across a hillside. And these hillsides can be so steep at times that there's paths. There's actually paths etched all over these hillsides about 3, 4, maybe 5 feet apart, all along the hillsides, almost like terraces or something. And sheep, they're just spaced far enough apart that a sheep on one side can come along and just grab all the tufts of grass along these rocks and on this side of the path, and the sheep, the next path up, gets to do the same, and they can move a flock of sheep across a whole large area of ground, not just a few acres, a large area of ground in one day and clean up all the grass in that area with one flock of sheep. And so the shepherd is responsible day after day to find a new hillside, a new fresh area of ground that has been affected by that little bit of moisture, that has those little sprouts of grass growing up alongside the rock, and take his sheep across that and clean it all up. That's what the shepherd does. You know, I think about those paths that I just described. The Psalm 23 talks about paths. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. I don't know, but I think we can see a little bit of what David was thinking. A little tuft of grass here, a little tuft of grass there. Imagine being a sheep. You're hungry, but you got to walk down the trail, and you got a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. The shepherd's up ahead. You need to follow the shepherd. You see, to the Israelites, seeing God as their shepherd meant trusting Him to meet their daily needs, even when it seemed impossible. Amongst the rocks of your life, those hardships that you find in your life, I would liken those to the rocks. We find daily provision and strength if we follow the shepherd. Not for next year, not for next week, not even for tomorrow. But you'll find daily provision and strength just for today. Now, some scholars think that David wrote this psalm, Psalm 23, while he was fleeing from Absalom. Now, that's speculation. We don't really know when David wrote the psalm. But we do know that David knew what it was like to face hardship. That we know. We know that he knew what it was like to be chased all over these wilderness hills and caves, hiding from King Saul and from Absalom. And we can go on and on about the hardships, the details of those things that David faced. Those were the rocks in David's life. But God met his need day by day in the wilderness. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to trust God rather than worry about the future. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Another very familiar portion of Scripture. Part of which, or maybe all of which, we also know by heart. In verse 9, we find the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And then if we move, in my Bible, it's across the page, to verse 25, chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A Jewish rabbi once said, "Worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture." Does that make sense now that we've thought about the culture that the Jews are in? Worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. Today, I don't know how this might apply to you, because I don't know what the rocks are that you're facing. What are the rocks in your life? Or maybe you're just discouraged about all the barren desert around you. Maybe you're tempted to doubt that the Good Shepherd will find green pasture amongst the rocks in your life. Or maybe you doubt, you know, as we go across this barren hillside, we're cleaning up all the grass that's here. Where are we going to find our food tomorrow? Where are we going to find spiritual strength tomorrow? What does God have for me in the future? Maybe you just find life extremely dry. Extremely dry and hot. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe it's full of labor trying to provide for your family, husbands. Maybe that's what life looks to you right now, like to you right now. And so this morning, I just simply want you to think about what those rocks are in your life. What are these hard things in your life that seem difficult? And realize that the Good Shepherd is leading you, and he's going to help you continue to find green pasture amongst the rocks in this wilderness terrain. Spiritually and physically. I said that yesterday my day got a bit turned upside down. I was studying and I had something that I was planning on sharing. And my wife is great with child. We're excited about that. 33 weeks. And towards the end of the day, she let me know that, you know, something's not right here. Something's wrong. And so we prayed and we analyzed the situation. And a little later, we called the midwife, and the midwife says, "You need to go to the hospital." And we didn't want to go to the hospital, obviously. And we didn't go to the hospital. We didn't feel as quite as serious as the midwife thought, but nonetheless we were afraid, and it was a bit difficult, and I was thinking, oh no, I'm not anywhere near done with my preparation for today. But in spite of staying home, I still couldn't focus. My wife went to bed. That seemed to be the only thing we could really do to help the situation. And I just asked God, "Well, you're going to have to take care of this. I can't afford to go to the hospital. It would be an easy way out of the message tomorrow, but I can't afford to go to the hospital." And I really need to take care of the children. but I also need a sermon. And that was the state I was in when I looked through my filing cabinet and found this message. And so I hope that right now this is a small experience, and I'm sure it's going to pass. But I hope that maybe that resonates with you and the situations you find yourself in life. I realize that many of you have been in the hospital recently. Many of us. Many of us have faced other things outside of the hospital that have been difficult. Death of family and many other things. And my desire this morning is just to be an encouragement in these things. I also want to encourage you mothers. You know, my wife has been a tremendous example to me in trusting the shepherd with three little children, one between 2 and 3 who seems to get into everything, and now facing this. Maybe you mothers get discouraged with the curse of Eve. You know, Genesis 3:16, God said to Eve, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." And I think at times as mothers, I'm sure I can't relate to this, but I know that that curse gets really, really, really heavy. It's real. But I just want to be an encouragement in that. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll look at verse 10. 10 and 11. And I believe the picture here is bigger than how we're using it this morning. What the prophet Isaiah is saying. I believe there's a lot of things that we could get out of this. But I would just like you mothers to take this very literally this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10. "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." I believe that the shepherd, the good shepherd, has special green pastures just for mothers. Those that are with young. And so this morning, I hope that and I trust that your perception of Psalm 23 and what green pastures are has been maybe reshaped a little bit. That instead of picturing this lush, green Lebanon County hillside where sheep are just handed everything they need, to a desert, mountainous ridge where sheep are just simply following the shepherd and trusting that tomorrow the shepherd's going to find another hillside. The shepherd's going to find more green grass, but for right now, this is all I have. And he's given it to me, and I'm thankful for it. In closing, I would invite you all to stand and we'll just recite together by memory the whole Psalm 23. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me as of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add his blessing.